Coconut Marketplace, and the Princeville Shopping Center, a local source for Hawaiian music CDs and DVDs.
Puahina, original Hawaiian island clothing store located in the heart of Hanapepe Town, on Facebook, Puahina at Hanapepe.
Akamai Juice Company in Hanalei provides locally sourced organic juices for smart, healthy living.
Supporting KKCR and Kauai, Crater Lake Vodka, Gin, and Rye Whiskey from Oregon with love.
Hawaii Seed and GMO Free, celebrating over 11 years of educating ourselves and others. Mahalo, Kauai, for awakening. HawaiiSeed.org or 651-9603.
The Kauai Beekeepers Association supports Kauai Community Radio and encourages you to be friendly. Visit KauaiBeekeepersAssociation.com and learn how to give bees a chance.
Kauai Marine and Mower, supporting Kauai Community Radio since day one. Oh, we sell power equipment as well.
Kauai Canvas, custom fine art gallery, quality canvas giclée prints and image capture. KauaiCanvas.com.
A. Feinberg Galleries, featuring award-winning photographer Aaron Feinberg. Located at St. Regis, Princeville, Kukui'ula in Poipu on Kauai. New gallery open at Wailea, Maui, expandingvisualreality.com.
If you would like more information about any of these wave riders or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
And I even have Jimmy in here, and you know, everybody's in here. Jimmy, say hi for a second.
Just say hi.
We love
you. Thanks for calling, everybody. Supporting our community radio.
826-7774 is the best number to call the donation in, because this is a talk show, and 826-7771, we get all confused for a moment. We think, should we answer it? But so 826-7774. The goal for today is $2,000, I think, you know?
Yeah, for this show. That would be wonderful if we were able to bump it up. We're at 13,433. 2,000 would get us where? 15 and plus change.
Yeah,
sounds pretty
15.
Good.
And I'm going to do a challenge out to everybody. And actually, a lot of our underwriters and wave riders happen to be other volunteers in the station. But I am going to do an angel pledge on...
you yourself?
I am. An angel pledge is $365. And
are you going to drop that all at once?
I'm going to, because I'm a little bit of a broke girl lately, I'm going to do mine in the sustainable membership kind.
Oh, over a period of time you're going to do
so
that.
So it's like $30
nice.
A month. And
so this would be like a reoccurring $30 and some change charge on your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way that you can make a much larger pledge in a way that's easy, bite-sized pieces.
And it's actually really nice for the station when they have these sustainable pledges, then they kind of know, all right.
Money's coming in.
Yeah, that's a really good thing. That's like strategic giving.
A dollar a day. That's not too bad.
No.
And you have a little incentive for our angel?
Well, yes, I do. My son and I and a whole bunch of community members, we wrote a book. I've given it away before. It's called Life is the School, Love is the Lesson. It's about learning from your community and how we learn, and most directly it's a little bit about homeschooling.
Nice.
But it's about education in general. And so for the first two people who call in an angel pledge, whether it is a sustaining, meaning monthly, or if it's a one-shot deal,
whatever works for you.
What if it's somebody who just wants to match Willie Judah's double-time angel $500 pledge today? You'll still give
them that. Oh, absolutely.
Hey,
yeah.
If you're out there, we're waiting.
You can't give too much.
No.
I mean, you know, don't give more than you feel comfortable, but feel as comfortable as you possibly can.
826-7774.
We're out there waiting.
Out there waiting.
There's some really good-looking people standing by to answer the phones.
And not so good-looking people, but...
No, Jimmy, don't say that about yourself.
You know what? We're still volunteering and smiling about that as well. Felicia, thanks for all you do every Tuesday, putting out a community affairs program like you do. Like today, you're going to have some off-island call in and covering some pretty heavy topics.
Yeah, and I love doing that, getting primary source people in. And in this case, our first set of calls is going to be from the consultant in the county. And we're hearing, you know, basically, as Jonathan would say, straight from the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I would say about Mr. Lenny Raposo from Parks and Rec. It's real great to hear from him. You know, I saw him last week at Tip Top.
Yeah, he's around. He does a lot of good things.
He does.
So we're going to hear from him, and we're going to hear from Koo. And since right now I've got three handsome men from the community affairs team right in front of me.
You say the nicest things.
Well, you know, like we have our mission statement.
That's true.
And lately I've been bringing up the mission statement because sometimes I get a little bit of pushback from what we talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, folks say, well, why are you covering these local issues? Why are you bringing up the Hawaiians all the time? What's up with that?
Right. And so, like, when we look at our mission statement, and Ke Kahu Foundation is really our governing board, and Butch Ke Kahu was, he passed away.
Yeah, but he's one of the founding members of the station.
And he is a Hawaiian activist.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Jonathan, I see that you have the mission statement.
I do. And so, one of the reasons why you keep bringing stuff like that up is because it's central to our mission as a community broadcaster here on the island to provide a forum for the overlooked, suppressed, and underrepresented voices, music, and views, as well as to preserve, perpetuate, and celebrate Hawaiian culture. So if people are asking, why is KKCR always preserving, perpetuating, and celebrating Hawaiian culture, it's because it's our mission.
Right. It's our mission. And so, and amplifying that underrepresented voice, but also if you are a very well-represented voice, if you have plenty of opportunity to
get yourself heard,
you're still welcome here.
That's true.
It's not limited.
No.
And typically when we have shows that we're focusing on, it's because those people are calling and asking, hey, we need to have this issue focused on.
Well, there's lots in our community that needs that type of I would say focus and support, and also to be brought attention. I want to just make a request.
Make a request.
If you feel like your voice isn't heard, if you feel like your voice is underrepresented,
call us up.
There we go. You know, give us a shout anytime, and we would love to have you on the air. We would love to encourage you to think about joining us as volunteers and getting your voice out there and representing your views, that is our community views.
And a door is also open. Say, for example, you're a developer or people who maybe are often misunderstood or people get afraid of, and you want to come in and share your plan right off the get-go to be proactive so people are understanding what to expect and how to be excited about maybe what you're doing. You can also call us. My number, Felicia, on Tuesdays is 652-4363, and I don't know if these men from Thursday want to give out your numbers.
I give you my email. I don't really want people calling me all the time,
okay,
like when I'm doing something important, you know.
Okay.
Like right now when we're here trying to raise money for the station.
Okay, so what's your email?
Well, I was just going to say the number to call at the station is 826-7774, because folks, we're talking to you, not like just generally, but to you. Yes, you. You who have been a long-time listener of KKCR. You've enjoyed the music, the diverse programming, and then the amazing informative community affairs shows like what Felicia does or Jimmy and, you know, the help that Marshall gives, and we got new people coming on. But, hey, all of this stuff can only happen when you invest in community radio. So please do give us a call at 826-7774.
So I was writing down some of the things that have just happened over the past few years where I feel like the community affairs shows have really made a difference.
Hmm.
Sometimes it is shining a light on issues that are areas of concern. Sometimes it is creating opportunities. So I'm kind of challenging my friends here to think about some of those. I know one that was really a big deal for me that I was happy that we actually stopped. I'll just be honest, we stopped it. Not just KKCR, but across all the islands in Hawaii, the Hawaii of today, all the islands.
The Super Ferry.
No, she's not talking about that.
Well, maybe
I'm going to bring that one
actually,
up right afterwards.
The Super Ferry predated me, but I was thinking the Public Land PLDC, Development Corporation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, see, now that's an interesting kind of phenomenon, because you have the politicians and you have the developers and, you know, big money and actually really powerful interests. And they're perfectly able to use big media and their public relations firms to sort of set the tone and the agenda and the debate. But with Kauai Community Radio and other grassroots organizations. It was really an opportunity for the rest of us to enter into the conversation.
So, Jimmy, were you around for the Super Ferry?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
okay.
And I hosted a number of public affairs shows, community affairs shows, where we had whether it was our representatives or our community organizers. The issue was huge and front and center, and KKCR played a huge role for organizing on Kauai.
Yeah, it was in-depth coverage for months and months and months. And I remember the show that you and Katie Rose did where you actually were interviewing some of the people who welded the plates together to make up the boat itself, the actual boat builders.
Right, from Mobile, Alabama.
From Mobile, from the Austell boat building yards in Mobile, Alabama. And that was really amazing. I mean, like, where else are you going to get coverage like that? Like, these are the people who actually built the boat.
Right, and so KKCR plays a role. You know, social media has developed to be quite a phenomenal asset for folks sharing information to broader audiences, and so KKCR is doing more in regards to outreach and trying to involve themselves, whether it's elections. I heard Auntie Nani Rogers on yesterday's show.
Oh, yeah, that was really a great show.
Talking about the elections coming up that most of us aren't really paying attention.
Na'i Aupuni.
Thank you for nailing that one.
Yeah.
And she described that as like capturing the government. That was the translation that she provided.
Right.
And Jonathan, do you have a particular event or thing that you were a part of that you're remembering?
There's just so many shows that we've done over the last years. I was just listening recently to a show I did with Dave Giroux and Ron Wiley from Kong Radio, and that was really fun. In fact, I think you called in on that show, Jimmy.
I might have.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And he is such a wealth of information and amazing stories about radio here on Kauai over the last, 20-something years now. That was a great show. But, you know, I've done interviews with the PMRF base commander, Captain...
Pacific Missile Range Facility.
Thank you, acronyms. I'm getting bad at that. It's a bad habit now. The Pacific Missile Range Facility, Captain Bruce Hayes, had a great interview with him, as well as anti-militarist activist Kyle...
Kajihiro
from Big Island and DMZ Hawaii.
Demilitarized zone.
Thank you, Felicia. I had an interview a couple weeks ago with John Lettman. He's a Kauai journalist, just came back from Okinawa. Very, very interesting story there.
We had the Hanalei School issue was on recently.
That was fantastic. I was the show that you did, Felicia, about the Hanalei School and the concerns that some of the parents and teachers were having there. I was so gripped by just the heartfelt outpouring of testimony from the parents and the teachers who just wanted to get a solution to the challenge they were having there. And you were so gracious and you were so moderate in how you guided the discussion. You really let people express themselves. And then the amazing thing is, like 2 weeks later, boom, problem solved. That's amazing.
Well, I was really thankful that Superintendent Bill Arakaki called in, and so the people knew that he was listening and that, you know, it wasn't meant with disrespect to anybody, just need for change. So those are reasons to donate. And we did just get another angel pledge.
Thank you.
I am really excited about that. That's our wonderful friend, Joan. And so thank you so much. In fact, like, it reminds me that, like, another thing that we do here is we announce the different meetings and events. And so, like, at the Kilauea Neighborhood Association, I notice one of the things on the agenda tonight, there's some things like Christmas party and different
things. Some lightweight business.
There's some lightweight business. But one thing that they're going to do is they are going to honor Bill and Joan Porter. And I know that Bill is actually in that last window of his life, so
That's too bad.
I'm really thankful that
what a
life it's been,
and what amazing contributions that the two of them have made to the community here. It's really, really wonderful.
And they are a really great example of
exactly
the people who have highly accomplished lives who come here more for retirement, and then they kind of rain down on the community.
Well, they plug in and they help build community and they make strategic investments like you can do right now with Kauai Community Radio.
At
if you call in, there you go.
826-7774. And there are plenty of others that come here that help. And I hesitate to throw names out there. I'm not sure if people want their names thrown out because then maybe
you get
a whole lot of calls.
You know who you are, and we really appreciate
it.
We really do.
And it makes a difference. And also not just the beautiful and famous people that come to Kauai, but also the folks that just come for a visit and then go home with a better sense because for whatever 6, 8, 9 days they were here, they listened to our radio station and enjoyed the Hawaiian music.
I'm really impressed with that, like people who are just come in and their rental car and they're scanning the dial and all of a sudden, wow, they pick up KKCR and they just, wow, I've never heard anything like this before.
And then they also, folks come back and say, wow, that was such a nice place and I dug it. I'm going to come back and I'm going to think about living here.
Well, I know that I feel so blessed being a part of the show because it's changed who I am. I have learned so much from the listeners. I've learned so much from researching the issues that come up. A lot of these things I would never even think to look at until people call and I start to look. And so it's really an honor to be a part of this.
It is. And we've been doing this now for 18 years here on KKCR on this Garden Island. So in celebration of this 18 years of broadcast, we're looking for 18 folks who want to contribute $1,000 or more. It's kind of a strategic gifting. And that's called the Kaukani Challenge that Michelle Rundgren has set up. And if you do that, you can have a nice meal with her over at Tiki Niki and come on to the station and sit in on one of the shows. And it's a wonderful way to make a strategic gift, an investment in community radio.
And what is that called again? Kaukani?
Kaukani. I think it means playing together.
Uh-huh. Nice. And $1,000 will get you a seat at the table Rundgren and her entertainment for the evening at Tiki Niki. What a fun time.
Yeah, like what color will her hair be?
And I want to acknowledge actually some of our celebrated friends. There are people who just have a house here and don't live here, many of whom are musicians that actually give those 5-figure donations that is one of the real backbones of the station. And so honoring people like that is huge.
Yeah, it is. But it's not just the big money that we're looking for because any amount all adds up. One of the things
we've got a $10, if you donate $10 to the show right now,
you can get a $40 ticket to the Chills and Thrills event at the Kauai Beer Company that Malama Kauai, they're doing.
It's a fundraiser for Malama Kauai's, I think, their school garden program. I'm not quite sure, but we'll get that
right
up. And it goes from, hey, $10 and new members, $1,000 and you're going to have fun with Michelle. This is good stuff. And 826-7774 will get us moving in that direction.
So for $10, you get that ticket to that event, or
you
get a chance? Really?
No, you get it. You get it.
It's yours.
It's really a gift from Malama Kauai to KKCR, but we're leveraging that a little bit.
Yeah, we're all in it together, trying to move forward.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not just fundraisers and it's not just concerts and it's not just big money banquets. We also tackle tough issues here at the local level, like the Fight for 15. As you well know, if you live here on the island, everything is expensive here. The food, transportation, housing, you name it. It's all quite stiff. But the work wage, the wage scale is pretty low. And so a lot of families here are fighting hard to make ends meet. And that's what the Fight for 15 is all about. That's going to be coming up in County Council tomorrow, I believe, for their final thumbs up or thumbs down.
It's a resolution to go before the Hawaii State Association of Counties. So $15 an hour. So
But what the people in Kauai are asking the council to do is say yes to the state. We recommend that you pass a $15 an hour minimum wage.
Now, is that possible? Could we do that locally? Can we do that at like the county level?
It's a state thing.
Yeah. I mean, I know because obviously like Seattle had passed something like that, and they're a municipality.
Mm-hmm. But, well, I mean, maybe we could, but
this is a specific resolution that we're going to try to have our council support the action and encourage the Hawaii State Association of Counties.
Say, hey, you know, let's think about that.
And so Uncle Ray Catania has actually put out a challenge to folks. If you want to help the fight for 15, if you want to stand up for working families, he's encouraging you to make a pledge of $15 to KKCR, because that's a lot of money for some folks who are working to make ends meet, but everyone can be a supporting and contributing member at KKCR.
Perfect. And we are going to hear from our underwriters, and then we're going to go and we're going to hear from the county council. I mean, not the county council, from the county parks. And
We got our phone call coming up.
We're going to have a phone call coming
up. Terrific. 826-7774 will get us hopping on the operator. And Felicia, mahalo for a great show. Please help us get that $2,000 goal. We're $1,700 away.
We've got $730 so far.
We're marching down there. But while you're listening to this, call in 826-7774 and make your pledge now.
KKCR presents the Kaukani Challenge. In celebration of our 18 years of service to the community, KKCR is seeking 18 donations of $1,000 each. Kaukani Challenge pledges will get the opportunity to guest DJ an hour of music on their favorite KKCR program and receive an invitation to a private dinner party at Tiki and Niki, hosted by Michelle Rundgren. The Kaukani Challenge, a grand way to support your community radio, KKCR.
Heaven on Earth starts here. Completely organic vegetable and herb plants for your own garden, sown with love and hope for a delicious tomorrow.
Please help Sandy. Kauai local band Gunga La Gunga just released their first CD, Woof. It's available on iTunes and at gungamusic.com.
Honolulu Bay Resort proudly supports the Kekahu Foundation and Kauai Community Radio.
Acupuncture and deep tissue cupping massage enhance your performance. Serving North Shore Kauai, Christine Wallinch, 351-6374.
Ching Yung Village in the heart of Hanalei supports Kauai Community Radio.
Mahalo KKCR for your passion for Kauai and its people. Author Bill Fernandez.
PS&D Napa Auto Parts and Tires has been in business over 40 years. Thanks to the people of Kauai for all your support.
The Computer Hospital, in business in Kapa'a since 1997. Sales and service, PCs and Macs, 822-2667.
Kayak Kauai at the Waialua River Marina, your camping, paddling, and hiking headquarters, servicing Hanalei, Napali, Poipu, and Waialua.
Princeville Center, plenty of cool new businesses. Shop, dine, relax, live music nightly.
Halilea Medicine, next to the pharmacy in Kilauea. Combining traditional and integrative philosophies, pediatric and adult full-service comprehensive care.
If you would like information about any of these wave riders or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. This is Felicia with Kauai's Soapbox. In the studio with me is Jonathan and Jimmy Trujillo and Marshall. And we will very quickly have a couple people from our county if you would like to make a donation.
Yeah, but first I want to thank some of the people who are already calling in. So thank you so much to David and Lizette Matthews from the South Side for your wonderful pledge. That's really fantastic. So we're marching towards our goal, which you try and get $2,000. That's it's a chunk of change, but together we can.
Yes. And we have some people on the air. Aloha, this is KKCR. You're on the air. Hello, are you on the air?
Aloha, caller, are you there?
Actually, I think I'm supposed to be on hold. But you're waiting for.
Yes, but is this Scott?
It is.
This is Felicia. So Lenny's going to be coming up soon, but you are on the air now.
All right.
And it's Scott Ezer, correct?
Ezer.
Even better.
And you're from HHF Planning, is correct?
HHF Planners in Honolulu.
So what does HHF Planners stand for? Not a trick question.
Are you there, Scott?
I am. It's HHF planners from Honolulu.
Thank you. So we're bringing Lenny up, and we are bringing Lenny up, and we are going to be talking about Hanalei Black Pot Park. And so we have a citizens advisory committee with that, correct? Are you able to hear me?
Yes, I am. Is Lenny on the line at this point?
We are trying to pull Lenny onto the line. We're struggling a little bit with getting him on the line, but you're here. So,
yeah, maybe you could sort of just introduce the whole project and help the listener understand what's going to be happening.
Well, we're in the process of gathering.
Okay, I think we just lost our other caller. Lenny, are you on the air?
I'm on the air.
Okay.
Are you on speakerphone there, Mr. Raposo?
I'm on speakerphone. Makes it easier for me.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's got
audio not so good.
Oh. Okay, you want me to use the handset?
Yeah, that would be better.
Okay, hold on.
So, if you're able to give the listener a little bit of background about what is the Hanalei Black Pot Park plan.
Well, right now the Black Pot plan is
it's a mouthful. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah, aside from it being a mouthful, we are.
Oh no.
Oh dear.
Okay.
We're having some problems with phone here, so apologies to everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Scott, and I'm online. So.
Okay. Good.
Okay. So.
So we're gonna try and get back Lenny in just a minute.
All right. So, Scott, we didn't hear your explanation. So,
we've begun a project to do some planning work to prepare a master plan for Black Pot Beach Park at Hanalei, and we have been in a process where we've been listening to what the residents of Hanalei have things to say to us.
I don't know.
So what is the basic proposal and what's some of the feedback that you've been getting?
Well, there's no real proposal on the table at this point. We haven't taken any pen to paper, so to speak, and we're just trying to get a sense of what the people in the community think are the main issues and what are the things that we should be paying attention to when we eventually will be preparing a
and Lenny you're on the air now, right?
I'm back again.
Okay, so perfect.
So you guys have a blank slate right now. What are some of the pieces that are coming in? What are some of the feedback that you're getting from the community about the direction that they are interested in having the Black Pot Beach project go?
Well, so far, right, they just met with the CAC, right, the Citizen Advisory Committee. And then they're going to go out to community on October 29th, their first community meeting, to discuss exactly to see, get some of the feedback from the community to see what they want to have or to what they envision seeing for this area. So really, right now, we're still in the fact-finding stages of the master plan and really haven't gotten any feedback from the community as to what they envision. I've heard some things where, you know, some community members discuss more parking, pavilions, you know, that sort of stuff. But to actually put something down on paper, we're not at that point yet. We're still in the information gathering stage of the master plan.
So, Lenny, I've gotten a lot of calls, and that's one of the reasons why I'm really stoked that you guys are on the air. And so I've looked at your website, and I think that you've done a really good job there. Maybe you can say in a moment what the website is, but the minutes of the meetings are on there, and there's some background, and there's a lot of really good information. A challenge is that the scope of the planning process with the consultant is pretty narrow. It looks like there's three meetings that will happen. And so there are some parts that are hard to tell, like the beach. So that's the biggest concern is the parking on the beach. And so if it's normal with state policy The parking on the beach would be the Department of Land and Natural Resources more than the county. Is that correct, or does the county have control in that area?
The county has control. That portion of the beach was EO to the county. So the county is has management rights to that area. The state still continues to manage from the high water mark or the certified shoreline down into the ocean. They continue to manage that. But the area that you're discussing about, the where the accreted in sand or the sand bar that is lost during the different times of the year, that is under county's management.
Okay, good. So then we don't have to get two different entities. So I know, like, when I'm looking at the map that you have there, the park is moving from being about 3 or 4 acres to 11 acres. Do I have that correct?
About there.
About there, and it seems like I know that the boundaries aren't completely defined, but there's a pretty good suggestion of where those park boundaries will be.
So it's going to, like, quadruple in size almost.
Yes.
Or triple, maybe triple.
Triple, yeah.
And so I've gone down and I've looked and I've counted, like, on a really busy day, peak time of the day in the summer, I've counted about 200 cars on the beach, and it seems like the boats are launching on the beach, especially in the summertime, because the river closes up. And if we move that off the beach, it probably to absorb that much, that's most of the new acreage, would probably be parking. Am I looking at that right?
Yeah, and that's some of the input we're looking from the community. Hopefully, we'll get it from at the community meetings. Yeah, some sense of what they envision, what the community wants to see. Ultimately, the decision will be rest with the director or the county of Kauai. But we want to gather as much information and see where a campground would be appropriate, where the community feels a campground would be appropriate, where maybe a canoe would be a holly would be appropriate, or commercial boating parking, or where they would launch. You know, we want to hear from the community where they see those activities or any or different or other activities, for that matter, at that particular facility, where they feel or what they want to see in that park.
So maybe
that's all part of the master plan process.
So maybe you could tell us about the website and let listeners know, when are these meetings going to be?
Well, if you go onto the website today, the first meeting is going to be on Thursday, October 29th, from 6 to 8:30 at the Hanalei Elementary School cafeteria. 6 o'clock, the agenda is you'd meet the planners at 6:30, a briefing of the project, and then at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., our consultants have a planning activities. And they will wrap up at 8 p.m.
So just with my experience of the community and how much, how important all of this is, do you feel that 2 hours would be enough to be able to hear from the community?
Well, we're hoping, but this is one of three, yeah? And they'll be scheduling two other community meetings based upon information or how this first one goes.
Okay.
So definitely it is important that they come out and they voice their needs or what they envision this park to be.
And so when we look at these types of processes, because even though right now we're speaking specifically to Hanalei Blackpot Park, kind of what we're learning from you right now might apply to any kind of parks that would be going, that very typically in the present we have a consultant help. Is that correct?
Correct.
So we have a consultant help, and they interface with the public. And I know in this case there's something called focus groups, and there's this Citizens Advisory Committee.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so on the Citizens Advisory Committee, you have how many members? And it looks like there's because I know something about this particular community, it seems like you have fishermen, surfers, the hotel.
Canoe club, people that represent canoe club, non-motorized practitioners or recreational users, fishermen and marine vehicle owners.
The former landowner.
Nearby impact, nearby neighbors and landowners. some Honolulu-based nonprofits or cultural groups, the visitor industry, business community at large, and community at large non-regional user.
So when do you have other plan? I mean, parks coming up in the next couple of years that will be being looked at?
Something of this magnitude, not at this time.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We are looking at the Salt Pond area for development of a cultural area, yeah, with a stewardship agreement. That would necessitate a master plan development. But this one and that one right now, those are the only two that currently we're looking at doing this type of process because of the magnitude of the project.
And is this plan a facilities plan or a master plan for Hanalei?
It's a master plan for the Blackpot
Park. Okay. And so the difference on that, because sometimes, so master plan, you're going to be looking at all the usage, and is there ever like a master plan that, say, looks at North Shore parks? Because another issue that we've been looking at is KA, or the Hyena State Park right there. And so they're looking to eliminate more than half of the parking that goes out there. So I know that there's some panic on if there's less parking in Hyena, you know, does it come to Lumahai? Does it come to Hanalei, or where is it going to end up? Is it going to end up Makua or tunnels? So if we're constraining parking in all these areas or bathrooms, is there anything that's looked at comprehensively?
Well, for the county, because you're trying to lump KA. KA is a state park. The county, we completed a master plan for all Kauai parks.
Okay.
And recreation master plan across the island back in 2013.
So where, if folks are curious, and I imagine a lot of people are, how can they get a look at that? Where online is that?
That was on the website. It's been on the website since 2013.
So what is that?
Off of the Parks and Recreation website.
Okay, that's great. And the meeting that's coming up on the 29th on Thursday at the Hanalei School, how can people start to plug in if they have comments or testimony that they want to submit ahead of time?
Well, I'm sure I'll leave that up to the consultants. That will be their job, yeah, to gather that, put it all together, and come back to us, yeah, with an update and talk. So, I believe if you get to the website, they have the, aside from that day, I'm sure you can, email or you can call, you can send your questions to the Plan Blackpot Beachpark at hhf.com.
All right, awesome. That's exactly what I was looking for.
I'm trying to pull it up. Plan.beachpark.
Plan. If you want more information, the website is www.blackpotplan.com. If you want to send in your questions or you want to send in testimony, then it's planblackpotbeachpark@hhf.com. And if you go to the website, we have all that information there.
Okay, so the main point of contact online is blackpotplan.com. All right, awesome. That's a great point of entry.
So, Lenny, when there's this large grass area, which types of elements are you hoping that the people would bring up? When we have an expansion by almost triple the amount, So if the listener's hearing this, what types of things are they given, you know, as option A, B, C? Like, is it parking? Is it a play area for the kids? You're saying the canoe hall, I mean, what would you like them to...
I'm hoping it's all-encompassing. Currently, look at what we have down there now and look at what the needs are. I'm hoping to hear from the community that, they may want to voice boat parking. Or camping area, day use area, special events area. How many more bathrooms do you guys think we need here?
Maybe some, but they should be clean, yeah?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but you're really, it's like blue sky right now. You're asking the community for, like, hey, what you guys like?
Exactly. Pie in the sky.
And what I know from that area there, what can be a big issue if the parking is limited, is that it ends up would be all stretched along Beckett Road, which is basically a residential street. And so then that's the thing that, like, everybody gets kind of worried about, because it's the same challenge that we have out at the end of the road there at KA, is that people are trying to walk, you know, between the parked cars and then the cars that are oncoming, you know. So it's a very, very big challenge. And then also for the boats going in and out of the water, you know, where they would be going in. And it's kind of gotten away from people talking about dredging the river mouth, but there was definitely a time when that river mouth used to be dredged regularly.
Yeah, well, the Army Corps used to dredge all kinds of stuff, and look where that got us.
Okay.
Did you know if dredging is something that's being discussed?
We only would do it on an as-needed basis, but not as a routine basis.
Yeah, because I know...
Because hopefully nature would take the sand out into the bay and keep it clear.
Well, that's been a challenge in that area. You're probably hearing that, but it used to clean out, and it doesn't seem to be doing that really hardly ever anymore. So it's gotten...
I don't know what the conditions are after we had all of these big rains in the mountains, and I would hope that with the water coming down from the mountain, that would be one of the reasons that it would clear the river mouth, as it has done at other river mouths on the island.
Mm-hmm.
But currently, I don't know what that effect has been with the last big rains that we experienced.
Well, that traditionally has been what's happened. What we've got going on right now up the river is there's a dam up there being built, and so there's a lot of silt coming down, and for the last, decade, we have been having more and more dirt coming down in the river, so sometimes you can even stand underneath the Hanalei Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So where it used to be maybe 12 feet deep, I know it's deeper than that now, but we are having an outflow issue there at the river.
Okay.
So, thank you for that input. Is there anything that you would like to be having the listener know in general about working with parks?
Well, we are always open to hearing what they have to say. It's important for them to come to these meetings, important for them of the users of the Black Pot to go to the website, to get familiar, and to we want to hear from them. Because the worst thing can happen is that we do something and we didn't hear from them, and then they question or they criticize as opposed to be part of the process.
Yeah, if you guys feel like they're operating in a vacuum, then everybody gets really unhappy really fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's why I'm thankful that you called in today, and then there might be another time where we have some of the Citizens Advisory Committee in here, or when after the first public hearing. Might be a good thing, because KKCR, and we're talking this day about what is the role of KKCR and community radio, and sometimes our public affairs team, our community affairs team here, ends up being almost like the complaint department. So we like to be proactive and be helping to get the word out, to have people know that they need to come to the meetings, and that is a lot of times where the big problem happens, is people don't show when you all need them to show. And then after the decisions are made, that's when we hear a little bit of the humbug.
So after the meeting on the 29th at Hanalei, it might be a great idea for you to come up to the station and share what some of the findings are, and then open it up for discussion. And, you know, the magic of radio really helps you connect with the community.
Sounds like a good offer. But we also need to be mindful, depending on how much information, that information needs to be filtered with the help of our consultants. And so, you know, we need to give them ample time to arrange or filter through all the information, and then we can discuss it and then come out to, you know, your venue and discuss the findings.
Sure. That's why for this show, we invited both yourself and Scott, the consultant.
Yes.
Because that's, you know, we are in alignment with that. We want to be able to be hearing from all concerned people. And we use social media a lot to promote what we're going to be doing on the show. So it is often very effective. People who care about it are piqued to be listening and be a part of the discussion. And so it's just really critical to get everybody to engage.
Terrific.
Is there anything that, Scott, you'd like to add to the discussion to try and help people get a better idea of how they can get involved and plug in and give you guys good information?
I think Lenny did a really good job of explaining what the website is all about. I think the website is set up so it's fairly intuitive, and once you get there, there's a link to at the top of the page that says participate, and when you click on that link, it allows you to send us comments or even to sign up for future email announcements regarding things that are happening with the project and future meetings, so people can stay in touch with how the project is progressing. And I think, as Felicia pointed out earlier, you know, we are being transparent about the materials we post on the website. So all of our work products and our meeting minutes and all those things are available for people to read and understand what we're doing. So we certainly welcome people's visits to the website.
I want to say that I think you're doing an excellent job on that, and right now I'm looking through it again. I did read through all the meeting minutes before, and there's a really good presentation on the history, and I think having Jay Fufaro be a part of that presentation was a very good choice to be made. He is really focused on these different elements. So you have resources here. The details are in there.
It's really great. There's a translate function at the top of the page there. I'm looking at it right now in Punjabi.
Something that might be really helpful for the listener to hear from you right now would be the overall time frame that we're looking at, because you've got one meeting coming up at the end of the month, but you say this is only the first of three. When are the next two likely to be, and what is the sort of the big picture about how we move through this process?
The meetings, probably the next two meetings would not occur until 2016.
Yeah, that's probably good, because the whole end of the year is like a big, big holiday anyways.
Yeah, we understand that. We've been doing a lot of community outreach and participation work for a number of years, and try not to schedule events where we know people's attention is distracted, and
yeah,
that's the holidays or big events in the community.
Yeah, that's really smart.
Yeah, so it isn't going to be a rush. There'll be an opportunity for people to digest information and make thoughtful comment and then come back to meetings in the future.
When do you think you'll give a report on your discoveries, and after you sort of filtered through and kind of made sense and, you know, brought similar comments into groupings, when do you think you'll make a report back to the community?
Probably sometime late in the first quarter of 2016.
So like March?
February, March, around there, yeah.
Okay, and so I posted for the listener this website, both on the Kauai Soapbox page and my own personal Felicia Olanji page. And so I do encourage people who are interested to look at this. And there are many plans that are underway, including like the Kauai General Plan. That is kauaikako.com. And that's a good one to look at, too. All these things need to feed together. And so we appreciate that.
You know, I'd just like to add to Scott, yeah. I know a lot of times that we get so anxious to see the information, to see what other people have said, to want to get to the next step, because we're excited, it's something new, and we look to some good things happening. But let's always keep in mind that we're talking about a park that's going to be developed for a lifetime. So let's not rush it. Let's give Scott his chance to do the work that we hired him to do, so that we can get some good input, good information, so we can make good decisions so that the park can be something that's going to be everlasting.
That seems great. I mean,
so, you know, when Scott says he needs a little bit more time. Let's give him the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because we are doing something that's going to last for all eternity, more than when you, beyond you and I ever going to be around.
I don't think you're getting any argument from us there. I mean, being careful and taking the time is the concern. A lot of times these plans come out, and then there is 2 weeks, you know, in the comment period, and that's when the panic happens.
Yeah, so I'm really glad that you guys have taken time to do it right and that you're sharing with the community the kind of tempo that you're going to be moving at. And I hope that you take the right amount of time to do this. You can take it slow and easy because, yeah, what you just said is going to be a strategic asset to the community for the North Shore. So, you know, hats off to you guys if you bring everybody in and you include everybody in the process, because then we're going to get a fantastic result from all that.
And you know,
good intention.
We're certainly aware, you know, being from Honolulu, that we don't live in Hanalei, and we're trying to be very sensitive to listening to the people that are most familiar with the asset, and it's their park. It's the park for the people of the county of Kauai. It's not my park, and we just want to make sure that they get a park that they feel good about, and that, as Lenny said, they'll be using for many years beyond the time you and I are here.
Well, we want to thank you both for working on this and putting your creativity in it, and for calling us and beginning the process of sharing it with the public. It's really very appreciated, and no doubt this park will be well used. And
well, it already is, and it's about to triple in size. So, you know, hopefully it's going to be just fantastic.
I'm excited. Sounds great.
Yeah, we're happy. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right. Aloha. Okay.
Aloha. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Aloha.
I wonder if there'll be week-long camping there, 6 nights a week at least.
Well, they did mention camping as a possible component.
Right, an expansion of the campground.
I think that typically now people do camp there.
No, it's just on weekends.
Just on weekends, okay. Yeah. Well, it's a very busy area, so.
Well, it's really well loved, and there's been a lot of traffic there. And I think the trick is to try and balance all that love and make sure that the facility has the resources that it needs to handle all that. You know, talk about bathrooms. It's always good to have some more facilities there, but you know, they got to be maintained, and with increased usage of a canoe holiday and more parking, boat lounge. It's a pretty full menu of stuff. So I'm glad they're taking time to get it right. And the critical thing is that they hear from us, from you, the community, so that they can get them right.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. And this is Kauai Soapbox. You've got three members of the community affairs team here, Jonathan Jay, Felicia Cowden, and Marshall Paul, all in here, happy to help you. This is a fun drive.
A membership drive,
yes. Invest in your radio station. So,
and we've got a goal.
Yeah, we got a goal of 2,000.
And we're like about, 800, 900 or so in so far?
Yep, so we would love it if we got more.
Well, we're almost halfway, and we're halfway through the show, so we just got to pick up the tempo a tiny bit, and we're going to get to our goal. So thank you so much for that.
Yes, and any size donation is great, and we are, encouraging the angel pledge.
Yeah, it could be $15, could be an angel pledge of $30 a month, reoccurring monthly contribution, or could be $1,000. The sky's the limit for KKCR when you make the call, 826-7774.
And mahalo. This program, Kauai Soapbox, is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
And you really can right now. Call up 826-7774. All kinds of nice ways that the station could say thank you. T-shirts, stickers, an incredible talk story CD with Paula Fuga. I'm really stoked about that. Her voice is amazing.
And she's a really wonderful soul. And she's been coming over here, and I believe that's Thomas from the Jungle Jukebox who's doing the interview with her.
I think so. Yep. I think so. Yeah. I don't know if you've never heard Paula Fuga belt it out. She's got the most amazing, throaty, deep, soulful pipes. She's really a talent.
Another thing that we do on this station is we have Democracy Now! I think I was listening to it today. Really do a very good job of handling the national issues. And what we saw this morning was the Trans-Pacific Partnership was agreed upon by the 12 member nations.
Well, yeah.
By the representatives of those 12 member nations.
Yeah, by the corporate representatives of those transnational, junta. It's kind of crazy what that whole thing is up to.
It is really, really concerning, And today on the show where we just were speaking with the county and looking at a local issue, and in a few minutes we'll be speaking with Ku Ching where we're talking a little bit more about the island-wide, or across the islands, statewide, whatever word we want to use.
I like archipelago.
The archipelago.
It's got one syllable for every island.
But we also do work on national and international, and on our show next week, we are going to be focusing somewhat on the national. On October 30th is the, 13th. Okay, I had the three right.
Yeah, oh, that's halfway wrong.
So on October 13th, next Tuesday at 3 o'clock, the Democrat debate is going to be happening.
We've heard a couple of rounds from the GOPers,
Republicans.
Grand Old Party. Yeah, that's an affectionate nickname for the Republican Party.
So they've had a couple of debates.
So far with,
11 people.
Or 16 people. They had like the adult table and the kid table. Kind of like a big Thanksgiving meal where not everybody can get to the podium at the same time.
Well, and I know like when there are a lot of candidates running, you've run before where there's lots of candidates.
I've never run with the GOP.
No, but it can be very difficult when there's a lot of candidates speaking in a forum. I believe this Democrat debate is going to have 6 candidates.
Really? That many?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Candidates.
So it's Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, the James Webb Space Telescope. Who else?
Marshall.
Is Marshall going to be in it?
He's going to be looking it up. He'll get all the names that are on the debate.
Okay.
We've got Martin O'Malley and Jim Gilmore. I'm not sure who else.
There's a Larry. I mean, we don't really know everybody, but I'm glad that the debate's going to be letting them in. I know that I read that.
Is Joe Biden going to be in the debate?
They're holding a space for him if he decides even the day of the debate.
Well, that's very gracious of them to hold a space open for someone who hasn't even declared for the office yet. That's really quite kind.
Okay. Well, that is the case.
Okay.
And he's doing very well in the polls, too, for somebody who's not
Joe Biden
actually running. Yeah.
Hmm.
How is he doing in the polls?
Well, he's running about third.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Running. That's pretty good for not even running.
Yeah.
So is it Hillary Clinton and then Bernie Sanders and then Joe Biden?
Yeah, and it fluctuates a little bit. Don't quote me on that at the moment.
All right, well, not to look at it just like it's a horse race and we're only talking about polling data, because there's real issues at the table as well.
So next week at 3 o'clock on CNN, they are going to be having the debate.
Chicken noodle news.
Chicken noodle news. And then, so on the island here, there are going to be at least 3 debate-watching parties.
Okay, there's one down at the old clubhouse at Kukui Olono, the golf course there.
Yes, that's called Paco's Tacos now. Mm-hmm. That's up there, and that I think, you know, show up before 3 o'clock because it starts at 3 o'clock. And so they've got their sports televisions up there that they'll be watching it. And
then this one in
Hanalei.
Hanalei, and that's going to be at where?
Well, it's called the General Store of Hanalei. And then there's a secondary name on that. Do you remember?
The Manifestorium.
Manifestorium. It's really a great place. It is an art gallery.
Yeah, downstairs.
Downstairs and a learning center upstairs with really great equipment for learning things, even like
a little technology lab, and there's a stage back in the back room for like live performances mm-hmm. for acoustic
and that's
stuff.
And that's where this this Democrat Party will be. And so there's two large screens to watch it, and there'll be cheese and wine and different poo-poos. And where
is the
Qingyang Village?
Okay, so it's right in front there, in front of Chicken and a Barrel.
Is the original Qingyang store.
Oh, okay, cool.
So the two-story wooden building. So that's another place. And then there is the Kauai Sports Bar in Lihue.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't gotten it confirmed, but I believe there's going to be a spot on the west side.
Oh, fantastic.
So in this show, we are going to allow the different communities to call in with their pundit comments, and so we'll be hearing.
And we'll be taking like a straw poll, yeah? So we can hear from the people on Kauai what you guys think of the Democrat debate and your feedback and your take on that.
Yes, and so our show starts at 4, so it'll probably be the second half of the show where you're really going to be hearing the reaction. And then, you know, I've been really pleased at some of our like post-election shows when people are talking about it, you know, how national politics influences local progress, local things. So,
well, and it's really exciting as, you know, someone here at the community affairs team at KKCR to be able to help bring this kind of programming to you on your community radio station. So if you think this is a good direction for KKCR to go in and do more of, well, then, hey, make an investment in community radio and give us a call right now at 826-7771 or 826-7774 and make your donation to help KKCR evolve and thrive. So we've got a caller, yeah?
No, we have a question.
Oh, okay.
Is that general store where the Democratic debate event going to be, is that the old Evolve Love? Is it gallery, studio?
Do you know Felicia?
Yeah, it was Evolve Love.
Okay, that's a yes.
And Evolve Love is love spelled backwards?
Well, it said Evolve Love. It was actually a really great little art studio some wonderful people.
So this is a space with a groovy background, a groovy history.
Would you like to know the six?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Jim Webb, Martin O'Malley, Lincoln Chafee, and Lawrence Lessig. And
oh, Lawrence Lessig is going to be in that. Wow.
He's calling for a constitutional,
convention?
Convention, yes.
Yeah, well, he wants to ban Citizen United, right?
Well, that's what the Constitutional Convention is about.
To take money out of politics.
That's a big piece for him. Bernie Sanders shares that piece.
So
is that all six?
Yeah,
that's six.
Maybe
yeah,
if
so
you can, you quickly explain who everybody is for folks who maybe don't know?
Because I don't know everybody.
Right.
Well, like Lawrence Lessig, start with him.
Well, you know, I was unfamiliar until I just checked his Wikipedia article. So that's what I know there, and I actually am relatively unfamiliar with Lincoln Chafee, but let's see. Actually, it says he's a liberal Republican.
Hmm.
So he's, for some reason, running as a Democrat, apparently. He voted against drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
Fortunately, that's been canceled.
And
the refuge has been canceled or the drilling?
The drilling.
He supports an increase in the minimum wage. And he voted against authorizing the use of force in Iraq. He's pro-choice, supports same-sex marriage, affirmative action, gun control, and federal funding for embryonic stem cell research.
All right, well, that's a whole lot. But, I mean, like, who is he? Where is he from? Is he a senator? Or?
Let's see. He was born in he's from Rhode Island.
Okay, there we go. Senator from Rhode Island, yeah.
He's a senator. He served as a senator and as the 74th governor of Rhode Island.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. So he has executive and legislative experience. All right, who else is next?
Well, we've got Hillary Clinton. And
who's she?
Right. Well, she was the first lady during Bill Clinton's presidency.
Yeah, I remember famously she did not bake cookies and got a lot of flack about that.
And then Secretary of State.
Oh, yeah, that too. And she was a senator from New York.
Senator from New York.
She relocated from Arkansas to move to New York to run for that open seat. And,
right.
Yeah.
Whitewater. And some say she's the most well-known woman on earth.
That could well be.
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Who else?
What about Jim Webb?
Is he a senator or a space telescope?
Say what?
Because there's the James Webb Space Telescope. I think that's humor.
Yeah. I mean, I'd vote for that because, I mean, talk about vision, right?
More humor. Yes.
Yeah.
He has served as a United States Senator from Virginia, as Secretary of the Navy, as Assistant Secretary of Defense for Reserve Affairs, Counsel for United States House Committee on Veterans Affairs, and as a Marine Corps officer. He was an Emmy Award-winning journalist, a filmmaker, author of 10 books.
Well.
All right. Well, is anybody else? What about Bernie Sanders? Is he on there?
Bernie Sanders is in there, yeah. And Martin O'Malley.
Yeah, who's Martin O'Malley?
You know, one thing that I was catching last night about Martin O'Malley is that he has some really specific proposals for gun control. And that is apparently an issue that's going to be coming up in this debate. The Democrats are...
Yeah, well, there was just that 294th mass shooting about a week ago in Oregon,
right.
A real tragedy.
Right.
But I think we're going to move along right now because we've got Ku Chang on the phone. Is that right?
It's time to call him.
Okay.
And just prior to that, we are going to hear from our Wave Riders. It's an excellent time for supporters to call in at 826-7774.
Yeah, operators are standing by.
I know. Jimmy and Paul are two of them.
And Crystal.
Yeah.
And Kiana-san.
So we got a lot of folks here with empty hands right now waiting for you to call them and make a pledge. And we've got a goal of $2,000, and we're about 80% of our way there. But
and we'll have Jimmy go and look at what our totals are at. I know it's under 1,000, but it's close.
So we have two angels, right?
We have two angels, and then we have a little bit more than that. So we need to get add up, Jimmy, and go.
Yeah, we
look
need to get
there.
Some numbers here.
This is KKCR. Hanalei KAQA Kilauea with Felicia Marshall and Jonathan. Pretty soon we'll have Ku Ching after we hear from our Wave Riders, those people who are helping to be responsible to have you be able to listen to this show.
Soul Good Music Together. Music and movement classes for infants to kindergarten. 635-4980 or soulgoodmusictogether.com.
Tiki and Niki serving brunch, lunch, happy hour, dinner, and late night dining, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, 431-4242, tikianiki.com.
Ola's Hanalei sends a big mahalo to the volunteers at KKCR. Ola's is grateful for 33 years in Hanalei. We continue inspiring locals and visitors with our unique works of art.
Mission Yes presents Haunted Bowling Costume Party at Kauai Bowl in Lihue, Saturday, October 31st, 6 to 9 p.m., ages 14 to 24, www.missionyes.org or 651-1927.
Fisheye Gallery is happy to support local art with locations in Princeville and Poipu.
Lisa Aaron supports KKCR, preserving our ocean and ensuring that our community is safe.
Plentiful, passionate, playful, peaceful, pleasing, positive, purposeful progression. Papaya's Natural Foods, even better.
Austin Owen, living on Kauai 28 years, doing real estate on the North Shore for 10 years. 808-635-7587. Austin at KauaiCountryBrokers.com.
chemical-free safe products and cleaning services for your home and business. Marie Colby, 808-353-1441.
Harvest Market Hanalei in Hanalei Center on Kauai's North Shore proudly supports KKCR and encourages you to do the same.
Lima Huli Garden and Preserve, a wonderful place to enjoy a stroll, volunteer, or shop. Mahalo for your ongoing support.
Window Fashions Kauai provides custom blinds, curtains, shades, and shutters, the treatment your windows deserve. WindowFashionsKauai.com.
E Pili Mai, a royal pa'ina benefit luau honoring King Kaumualii, November 7th from 5 to 10 p.m. at Smith's Tropical Paradise. Ticket info at 338-1332 or online at kauaikingkaumualii.org.
If you would like information about any of these wave riders or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo. And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
We really have some amazing voice talent at this station, huh? So we've got a caller on the line, but real quick, I just wanted to thank the folks who have already called in their pledge of support to KKCR. So thank you to Joan, to Felicia, David, Lizette, and Stephanie. Thanks so much. Phone lines are open, 826-7771 or 826-7774. Please do make that call.
And aloha, thank you so much for holding, Uncle Ku.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so glad that you called in. Ku Ching.
Yes.
Yes. So you've done some amazing things lately, and I want to invite you to share your mana'o. Maybe give the listener who's driving down the road who doesn't know too much about Mauna Kea or the Department of Land and Natural Resources, or help place it in context for them, and then you can tell us some of these good things that have been going on with the courts.
Which story would you like?
Well, maybe start by letting them know who you are. I will say that you've been a Mauna Kea protector for many decades. Is that correct?
Yes.
So maybe help them know what the mountain is. And you're a lawyer, if I remember right. Is that correct?
Well, I was a long time ago.
Okay, well, you are like a pretty Akamai guy. You're a pretty sharp guy. And I met you up on the mountain personally on Mauna Kea on Hawaii Island that is undergoing a couple pressures. One is more telescopes. It's almost an industrial area at the top of that conservation in Poliahu Crater. And then there's Pahakuloa Crater where there is military firing testing going on there, and there was two court cases recently, and I have to say I was relieved, warmly relieved, to be learning and seeing the judges actually felt like standing up for the people, and you were one of the plaintiffs in both of these cases, and I want to allow you to frame it rather than to overly guide you.
I see. Well, I've been involved with Mauna Kea for quite a few years. Early on as a hiker. In fact, in 2002, we got a bunch of people together, and we did a really nice super hike that lasted a week that started at sea level on the Hamakua coast of Hawaii Island. And for 3 days, we walked uphill to the top of Mauna Kea.
Wow. What ahupua'a were you starting in?
Okay, we started in Kohololele Ahupua'a, and I just happened to know that offhand.
Is that on the Kona side?
No, Hamakua side. No,
Hamakua side.
On the Hamakua side. Actually, it is near the first gulch when you're headed south from Honoka'a. Anyway, we went up to the top of Mauna Kea, And then we spent a day up there, and 3 days more, we hiked down the slope, the western slopes of Mauna Kea, all the way to the ocean on the Kona coast.
Wow, that's quite a journey.
So, and we had lots of fun. We didn't carry all our supplies because we, you know, laid the thing out pretty good. We had campsites, and access by four-wheel drive road. And, so we camped a couple times going up and a couple times going down. It worked out really great. Well, all at the same time, in the 1960s, the state, in the way of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, leased the top of Mauna Kea to the University of Hawaii for an observatory, the lease said.
Yeah, one.
And, yeah, well, I don't know if it's one, but it said and.
Well, that's a singular, yeah.
It surely is a singular. Yeah.
You can't say an 13 telescopes. It doesn't work that way.
That is totally true. But I wanted to use the word they used, which is an. And at this point, TAN means 13 telescopes or telescope observatories and an additional one that has a permit. Which, you know, makes one wonder what the English language really means when it says and.
Yeah.
I don't know how much resistance there was in the first telescope, but I'm imagining that the people were sort of okay with that. However, from number two on down the line, people have been objecting to, you know, all these telescopes being built on the mountain. And for many of them, at least three of them, they built them without permits.
Wow.
So after they got caught not having permits, they then went back to DLNR to get the permits to make them legal.
After the fact.
After the fact. Oops.
After the fact.
Oops, right. I built a telescope.
We made a mistake and built the telescope. Now we need a permit. So, this kind of thing has been going on for, you know, like I said, since the 1960s.
So you're saying that from the very get-go, they've had just a terrible time following their own laws. Why do you think that is?
Well, I hate to tell you, but there is a bunch of arrogance involved. A feeling of we're king of the mountain, and we're going to do up here what we want. We're going to make rules, and if we don't like the rules we made, we won't follow them. I mean,
right.
There's any number of, you know, reasons for the present attitude of the people toward these dang instruments up on the mountain.
So, but for decades, they've been begrudgingly sometimes following their own laws.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And, of course, what happened was, you know, as these projects came along, it was like, well, can we compromise? And of course the bottom line was, after the people compromised, they built a telescope. Well, the people compromised, you know, over 10 times, right? Many times. And so at this point, they wanted to build the so-called 30-meter telescope, which means that collecting lens of the telescope is 30 meters in diameter.
And I think it's something really important for folks to know that the TMT is not just one more telescope. Up there now is some of the largest observational facilities on the planet, but the TMT is more than twice as big as all of them put together. So this is not, you know, the equivalent of one more telescope. This is
one more gigantic telescope.
This is the equivalent of two dozen more telescopes. So that's people say, oh, what's the big deal? Well, that's the big deal.
Well, yeah, just another telescope. Well, it would be great if they were adding one that was only, you know, maybe 3 feet across. But this thing is large. The str- structure is going to be 18 stories high.
So now that's taller than any building that you could legally build anywhere else in the entire island, in any downtown core, any office building, yeah. any hotel, anywhere. So how in the world could they justify putting a skyscraper in the middle of a conservation district?
Good question. But so, anyway, to even compare sizes, this proposed telescope building, you know, this big roundish spherical whatever observatory is going to be taller than the state capitol building. And if you go to Honolulu and you see this gigantic state capitol building, well, just know that this proposed telescope observatory is going to be larger, you know, taller than the state building.
And that's right at the top of the peak, so it can be seen from a lot of places. So,
No. It won't be at the top.
Why?
One of the justifications for this telescope is that they're going to build it off of the top because they know that Hawaiians consider the top to be very, very sacred. And so they're going to, you know, not insist that they build in the top, but a little ways from the top.
Well, you know, they say that, and they try to, like, make it sound good. But the fact of the matter is they can't build it on top because there's no more room up there because it's already choked telescopes already.
No. This telescope is actually too big for the summit.
Right.
And there's no room up there for it, even if they got rid of everything else on there. So they cannot possibly build it up on there.
No, and it's really...
They have to go down, you know, further where the area is sort of... turns into sort of a plain plateau kind of thing. And so, you know, in their PR, they're really respecting the natives and their native religious and spiritual practices, and they're going to keep their telescope up the top of the mountain.
Well, it's nice of them to say that, but it's really just public relations massaging because,
of course,
like what you said, there's no room for the telescope up there.
But it sounds good. And then they're going to respect Hawaiian culture because in this structure that they want to build, they're going to have pictures of cultural things and all that. So they're going to, you know, respect Hawaiian culture by having these pictures within their dome.
Right. So, and right now there really is quite a lot of Hawaiian culture up there. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. In the studio also is Jonathan Jay, Jimmy, and Marshall. And Kuching is on the phone from Hawaii Island. So, Uncle Ku, like, a lot happened, and a lawsuit was brought against UH and the 30...
It was the DLNR.
The Department of Land and Natural Resources. And we saw the justices there really asking questions that were quite strong that started to show and unveil the fact that even in this last time with the 30-meter telescope, that they really did not follow along with their own procedures. And I saw in Civil Beat recently, they did a really good article. Sometimes Civil Beat does a great job, and they showed how the Hawaii Supreme Court even went along with this Waikiki Tower that was at which hotel is that again? The Moana Hotel, where all over the place the rules were able to be subverted. And
yeah.
So what was really nice for me to see with, like, Lauren Rego from Babes Against Biotech, boy, is she doing a great job with her court reporting.
Great job. Oh, she's awesome.
Awesome.
But let me tell you some other stuff that will get the story out and will probably outrage your listeners.
Okay. Are we speaking now of Mauna Kea with the TMT still, or have we moved on to Pohakuloa?
We are still talking about the TMT.
Okay, and then we'll move to Pohakuloa. Okay, so let's hear it.
Yeah, I'm all stoked to be outraged. Go.
Okay. It turns out that the TMT wanted to get a permit to build their structure up there. Okay, this thing is, well, you first of all, you apply. And so this becomes a conservation district use application, which after you go through the whole process, it then turns into a conservation district use permit.
And there's certain criteria, yeah.
Yeah, there's eight criteria.
You have to answer a whole bunch of questions, including satisfying these eight criteria. However, one would expect that the TMT would have initiated this application. It did not. The application was filled out and signed by the University of Hawaii at Hilo.
So why is the UH applying for the TMT? Why can't the TMT submit their own paperwork?
Well, that's the question. Are you starting to get outraged?
Well, I've already been, like, kind of calmly outraged for a while.
Okay, so the university put this application together and filed it with DLNR. In the process, the university also paid for attorneys who chose the firm that would do the EIS.
Environmental Impact Statement. And was that Carl Smith Ball?
Yes.
Who happens to be the same law firm?
Yeah. Explain this sort of...
Doug Chin, Attorney General.
Explain this fantastic
conflict
of interest.
Well, here's where the outrage starts to raise its ugly little head.
Explain who is the Attorney General and all, for listeners who don't know.
Well, Governor Ige has appointed Doug Chin, an attorney, no relation of mine, in fact, it's spelled differently, to be Attorney General. And he, among other things, came from that law firm, Carl Smith. So the university, when I say university, it's the taxpayers then paid for the EIS. Then we challenged them with a contested case hearing that was defended by the university with taxpayer funds, which we lost. And then, you know, then the appeals process starts. So we appealed in the circuit court. Guess who paid? The university and the taxpayers. And finally, and then we lost. And then finally it was appealed to the Hawaii State Supreme Court, which was, you know, which had been referred to early on.
So if the TMT is a multi-billion dollar financial juggernaut, why can't they pay for their own legal fees?
Well, that's the question I've been asking for a long time, and other people. Well, actually, it's one of the things that the media hasn't really picked up on.
Well, thanks for sharing with us and trying to make that point clear.
Yeah, it costs the taxpayers.
The media has mentioned it a few times and all that, but the people haven't realized what the media, what little they're admitting to, is saying. And so, you know, the people of Hawaii, the taxpayers of Hawaii, are totally involved in the TMT because they're sponsoring, you know, they're paying for all this legal challenges and...
Well,
everything else is going on up on the mountain.
What happens, though, is then who gets blamed is the protectors. They're saying if those people wouldn't fight it, then we wouldn't be charged this. So it gets blamed on them. I think it's really important to notice that these leases pay $1 for what is arguably, they say, this is the best spot on the entire earth.
Which it probably is.
It probably is. So they
say, folks in Chile might argue that point, but it is, again, a sweetheart of a deal for some folks, and other folks are crying out for an injustice that needs to be addressed properly.
Yes, and Pahakuloa is the crater next to it.
Before we go to Pahakuloa, let me say that in the proposed, you know, in these leases and subleases and all that, the TMT has agreed to pay roughly... when the thing gets operational, if it ever does get that way, about $1 million in rent a year.
Well, to the university, though, right? It goes to the university.
It goes to the university.
And,
well, it, yeah.
And then what I've seen of what's already the rent that they're going to be getting from other universities and places, that they get like millions of dollars a night to go
in. For observation time.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
do
like...
observation time, yes.
So the percentage rent that they're paying is like, you know, just the fraction, tiniest fraction.
Yeah, and then the thing that's...
And the TMT will also have observation time in the mix also.
So when I'm kind of moving us along through this is we don't have that much more time, and I want to be able to, this Pahakuloa issue is also, this is a fresh issue. We've done many yes. shows on the 30-meter telescope. We've been covering that for a good 6 months and going up there and spending time with it. And the science of astronomy isn't what's being fought. What is interesting is at Pahakuloa, where it is a training ground, kind of like Ho'olawe was, where, I mean, like a long time even before they started getting uncomfortable with these telescopes, I thought, well, I can cope with the telescope a whole lot more than I can cope with a bombing range that leaves depleted uranium in the middle of the aquifer that is in the drinking water. I've heard the argument that we need to train our military people and make sure they're safe, and I can understand that. We want to make sure that they're safe. But I thought that what came out, and I didn't see anything on TV. Maybe it was there, but in this lawsuit that happened just last week, what came out was that the Department of Land and Natural Resources, who have the lease.
Yeah, and these are the same people who were subleasing out the mountain.
See the trend?
Same attorney firms have got the conflict of interest
Same
conflict of interest. So you tell us, Uncle Koo, how many times, when, and why did the Department of Land and Natural Resources, the leaseor, ever go check on their leasee, the military? How much did they go look, and what could have they looked for?
Okay, first of all, let's all realize that the lands that are involved are all part of the so-called ceded lands. These are lands that were stolen from the Hawaiian Kingdom. Okay? And they are presently, legal-wise, they're in this public trust. And the trustee is the state of Hawaii, and the agency that does the work for the trustee state is the DLNR.
So talk about the trust, because I understand that we are the public, but we're trusting in them to take care of these lands, but that's not what's happening.
That's not what's happening. Okay, the beneficiaries of the trust are two. On one hand, they're the Hawaiians, and on the other hand, the public. So the public has an interest in these lands. So anyway, the Army started training, live fire training and all that stuff at Pahakuloa way back around World War II, toward the end of the war, similar to what they did in Kahoolawe and what they did at Makua and other places, including Schofield.
And also Kaula down south of Niihau.
Yes.
Which is also still happening today.
Yeah, even with all the birds out there. They finally got things straightened out in 1968, I believe, maybe 64. Okay, 1964, they created a lease of some three state parcels at Pahakuloa, about 22,000 acres worth. And they've been conducting, you know, different phases of training there since then. And one would think that in the 51 years or so of the Army being there, that the state would be regularly checking the place out, you know, making sure things are cleaned up, all these kinds of things.
Like have a schedule.
Because they've been running around blowing stuff up for decades now. And, I mean, we all know from Kaho'olawe, there's all kinds of unexploded ordnance and shells and landmines and, you know.
And wrecked cars that were used for targets,
sure,
different targets.
Tanks that are all shot up. Not even to mention the depleted uranium. So I hope we can come back to that, the radioactive dust.
And so trial started went on last week from Tuesday to Friday. As it turns out, there wasn't a very whole bunch of information in the file for the Puakalua leases. In fact, it was like almost empty. And we found out at trial that there were 2 years in which they supposedly did inspections. One was 1984. The land agent for the state went up there and spent a day up there, you know, and supposedly checked out 22,000 acres to make sure that the Army was in compliance.
30-plus years ago.
Yeah, before there was even any drones for him to, like, fly around.
Yeah. And then there was another piece of paper that said that they were supposed to have inspected in 1994, 10 years later. And so in questioning the DLNR witness about that, we found out that on this report, there was a year. It said 1994. There wasn't a date. There wasn't a month. There wasn't a day. It wasn't signed. And all the different sections on this piece of paper that's, you know, supposed to sort of lay out what the inspection...
Sure, their findings, yeah.
The dang thing was completely blank. So bottom line, although they had like two reports in the file for over 50 years, there was only one report about the lease and its lease inspections, and that took place in 1984.
So they weren't really looking at it, and then what we saw, or like what I saw from Lauren's cartoons discussing it, is that after you filed a lawsuit against them, still yet they didn't do anything until the court didn't disclaim it.
Yeah, you know, if you could talk a little bit about who filed this lawsuit and the process afterwards, if you will, the state got caught with their reports undone. And
their pants around their ankles, sounds like to me.
Well, and Uncle Koo, if you could just tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, the plaintiffs for this lawsuit were myself and another kupuna, two 70-plus-year-olders.
Well, thank you for that.
Whose name is... her name is Maxine Kahaulilio. She happens to also live in Waimea on Hawaii Island, where I live. And, I was going to do this lawsuit, and I felt a little lonely. So I asked to have a co-plaintiff join me in this suit. And the attorneys, which are turned out to be Kimo Frankel and Summer Silva,
from the
Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation. And so they said, yes, we can have co-plaintiff. And so this is what we went on. 7 months after we filed suit, the state brought a motion for dismissal, which was not granted. In other words, the judge kept the lawsuit alive. And the instance that you're talking about happened the day after DLNR started arranging for an inspection.
So you guys filed a lawsuit. They ignored it. They tried to slap it down, but then when the judge rejected that, then they hurried up and tried to do an inspection.
Yes. And so this inspection took place December of last year, roughly 8 months after we had filed the suit.
It was an extensive inspection or investigation on the state's part?
Of course.
meaning what exactly?
What happened was the Army led him by the hand, took him where they wanted to, you know, to the places they wanted him to see.
Cherry-picked the sites.
Well, actually, the Army did pretty good because they took him to an old bazooka range that where, you know, I haven't been there. But the pictures show stuff on the ground, you know, all kinds of old bazooka stuff, including duds, which are, you know, unexploded ordnance.
Uh-huh.
They also showed them a bunch of derelict cars that they were going to use for target practice, but hadn't, and some other stuff. And so what is interesting is that at trial, this person who is sort of the land division head of some sort reported that even though he saw all this stuff on the ground there, he thought that a lot of what he saw was immaculate.
Oh, immaculate.
Yes.
Oh, and on, under what basis did he come to that conclusion of immaculateness?
Well, I don't think his definition of the word is, you know, it's like we would define it.
Did he use a Geiger counter?
well, we didn't get too much out of him as to how he decided it was immaculate, but that was the word he used. He about tore up the people in the courthouse.
It sounds like a very creative, poetic license, yeah?
Yeah. Well, bottom line is that in over 50 years, the state has done almost nothing. You know, there are no letters, there are no inspection forms except for the one in 1984. Very little supervision. In fact, what happened is in November of last year, about four of us went up there, and right alongside the road, you know, this is alongside the Daniel K. Inouye Highway, which is a fairly recent realignment of the saddle road. But right off that, you know, new road, we found one expended shell within about 6 feet of the paved road. But we went up there and we found some of these things. We took pictures of them and all that. And when this land agent guy saw these pictures, we submitted about, I don't know, five or six or seven of them. And so the general area in which we were when we took the pictures was one of the places the Army took him to. But when he went there, he only saw some parts of the things that were included in only two of the pictures we submitted.
So it just sounds like complete and total abject dereliction of duty.
Right. And I don't know how much that really got out. Like, you know, if it wasn't for the reporting of this woman, Lauren Rego, I don't think I would have even heard about it. I don't know if it made it into the main press. Did you see it on the news?
Very little. Actually, the TV guys got, you know, they came the first day, spent the first hour, saw the opening statements. They interviewed both plaintiffs, me and Maxine, and then they left, and they never showed back up again.
That's Hawaii News Now.
And that's what's so important. I think that's like, you know, when people are, you know, well, this is a day where we're getting more members, too. It's really important for people to know that a lot of times what doesn't make it into the mainstream press, the fact that something as impacting as a military range bigger than Koho'olawe and Ka'ula'rak is happening in a populated area and there is not even any kind of oversight is really an important story.
Well, especially when there's toxic radioactive uranium dust blowing around from live fire exercises. That is nuts.
Okay. I got to move you along soon here,
let's get a final thought on that because I want to know. Here's a couple things I want to know, because we're almost at the end of the show,
okay.
And Jazz with John is coming up next, and I want to know, like, neither of these court's cases had a decision yet, right? It's a little surprising to me, because the testimony that has come out and the questions asked by the judges show that there really was an egregious either dereliction of duty or abuse of authority, like particularly in the TMT, the telescope issue.
Or criminal neglect.
But in the telescope issue, all of the above. It is the government breaking its own laws for itself. Like when people think it is just about a cultural issue versus arguably a science or a military need. I mean, that's in there. But it's like, where do we have laws and what do we do with it? Now, neither one of these courts had a decision made yet, correct?
Yes. We're going to have to be patient for the decision. For instance, the Supreme Court entertained a case something like ours. In fact, it was the Haleakala, Kila Kila case.
And this is the Daniel K. Inouye Solar Telescope
Solar
Facilities.
Telescope. Yes. The court held oral arguments on April 2nd, and we haven't seen a decision on that yet.
And that's a Hawaii State Supreme Court.
This is Hawaii State Supreme Court.
And that's really huge. And, like, pulling in the third topic that's here is this, forgive me for not saying it right, Na'i Aupuni. Na'i Aupuni, which is...
supposed to be like nation building.
Nation right. building. And so I was listening to the link that you sent me. And so Hawaii Public Radio reporter and speaking to the attorney for that organization is saying, oh, they had these Department of Interior meetings and it was overwhelming support for a nation within a nation. So that was shocking to me because I went to two of the meetings here. I just went
and it was nothing like that.
I like, where are they getting that? Like, it was...
Was it 80, 90%?
I would say on Kauai...
98%.
I mean...
There you go.
It was overwhelming and powerfully no. I mean, maybe there's two or three...
Did you hear that the Department of Interior that sponsored those meetings decided that the oral testimony was some kind of like effective, and so they're not going
they
to
threw it out
looking at those.
Yeah, they threw it out. So that to me is another example. And we only got like 2 to 3 minutes left here.
Yeah.
It is another example of where it's just shocking that when we say, okay, we're going to have these public hearings. Unless we don't like what we hear. And if we don't like what we hear, we're going to say, okay, well, it wasn't written down, so it's like we didn't hear it.
Well, it's like the kid sticking his fingers in his ears. La, 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 la. I can't hear your testimony.
So I had trouble with that.
You know, we're back in, quote, 1984 again.
Right.
So you are actually running for a delegate for this Na'i Aupuni. And so now
I am a pro-independent candidate, by the way.
Okay, so some people are pro-independence candidates. So there are different viewpoints. And so...
Yeah, supposedly Na'i Aupuni will entertain all the different
perspectives.
Kinds of governmental
documents
and files and everything else.
When people like Williamson Chang or Keanu Tsai or a number of these different people that I've spoken with on this show, and they say, oh, don't even register to vote because, again, that is surrendering our claim to Hawaiian nationhood. Am I hearing that right? Is that right or wrong?
Okay, I don't know if the guys you mentioned are saying that because, there is that part of the Hawaiian public that believes that, but not everyone. However, I will tell you and announce to the world, for instance, that Williamson Chang is also a delegate.
Okay. All right, that helps.
He is pro-independence.
So right. You guys are involving yourself in the process so it doesn't get run away with.
We're trying to get him from the inside of the belly of the beast.
Well, there you go. And I just want to mahalo you, Uncle, for the work that you're doing and the leadership that you're demonstrating. So standing up and having your voice be heard right now is so inspiring for many. And mahalo to you. And thanks, Felicia, for having an uncle join us on a very special day for us, but for us to think about victory, justice, it's possible.
Well, if we don't participate, the answer would have been no. And so, you know, we can't guarantee an outcome, but we're going to be in there fighting.
Okay. And I say Lani Kila is also running, and he is one of the prominent young faces on the mountain.
Exactly.
So I want to thank you also for standing up for Ku Kia I Mauna. It's really, it's an inspiration. It's the inspiration to millions of people around the world. You guys are standing up in the face of these processes, which are a joke, which are self-contradictory, which don't even follow their own laws. And the whole idea of intergovernment relations with the Department of the Interior, that's the wrong department.
That's true.
So
let me share one thing. That hasn't been mentioned before. But I decided 4 days before the cutoff date to re-register because I had been, you know, registered by one of their things, and I took myself off the list. But 4 days before the cutoff for delegate nominations, I went back on the list and submitted my name. Lana Kila saw that I had done that, and so he decided to jump in, and so he jumped in. Williamson Chang saw me and Lana Kila do that, and he jumped in. So we got a bunch of people who are pro-independence, pro-queen, pro all of that kind of stuff.
Pro-Hawaiian sovereignty.
We're hoping that we can get our people nominated and elected and you know, to go through the fight.
Well, thank you so much for calling that in. And I'm going to have that be the last word. Thank you so much. And that helps me because that lets me know that, all right, there's a lot of value in people registering. So thank you so much.
Yeah, so I'm encouraging registering just so that our side of the story is going to be told and voted upon. If anything, if we don't like what comes out of the process, we can vote it down.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
All right. Aloha, everybody. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Jonathan Jay has been in here, Marshall and Jimmy Trujillo. You have a whole lot of the public affairs team. We have John Gordon is coming up in just a moment, and he's going to say hi for a second.
Hi.
Hi. And so if you want to donate, call in at 826-7774. We're going to hear from our wave riders one last time, then we'll hear the county council report. And Jazz with John is on.
You know, John, every time Felicia ends her show, you're coming in, and she wants to get you into the conversation, but somehow it never happens. What do you think of all this stuff going on?
Well, I'd just like to do jazz right now. I don't want to get too involved, okay?
All right, well, that's totally great because the music show you do is fantastic, so thank you so much for that. And
okay. And
please do call in with your pledge of support for KKCR, for jazz, for community affairs,
absolutely,
for all the amazing shows, 826-7771 or 826-7774.
And this is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea.
Long Hair Productions presents Grammy winner The Charlie Musselwhite Band, Friday, November 27th, 7:30 p.m. Longhairproductions.com, 337-9234.
Garden Island Properties in Kapa'a specializes in real estate sales and property management, locally owned for over 23 years.
Coconut Cup Juice Bar, serving organic local food, located in Kapa'a at the Coral Reef Hotel, is proud to support Kauai Community Radio.
Kauai Community Cat Project celebrates National Feral Cat Day, Saturday, October 17th at Kukui Grove Shopping Center.
Mankind Project's Adventure Training Weekend is November 6th through the 8th on Maui. Info at local meetings and www.nwta.us and at 412-444-8088.
Got pets? Want to keep them healthy? Prevention is the intervention. Good food, exercise, and supplements. Dr. Basco Consultations, 822-4229, drbasco.com.
Heart and Soul Organics, a family-owned business providing organic soil amendments since 1989, 823-1007, supporting KKCR from the ground up.
Dove presents the 15th annual Hawaii Homegrown Music Festival, November 28th and 29th, NACO and Medicine for the People, and 14 more acts. Church of the Pacific Outdoor Amphitheater, all ages welcome, 635-5556, DovePresents.com.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, supporting KKCR from the beginning, continuing to support KKCR and encouraging others to contribute.
Goldsmiths Kauai has created fine jewelry designs with gemstones, pearls, and diamonds in Wailua since 1980. 822-4653 or goldsmiths-kauai.com.
Bamboo Island Bath and Body, located in Anchor Cove Shopping Center, Lihue. Tropical scented bath and body products and candles. www.bambooisland.com. 245-3808. If you would like information about any of these wave riders or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774 or online at kkcr.org. Mahalo.
And a big mahalo to our wave riders for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Jazz with John is coming up in a few minutes, but first we're going to have the County Council report and remind you, you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the County Council report for the week of October 5th. There will be a regular council meeting this week. The meeting will be at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the agenda. Wally Resentis Jr. will be interviewed for the Board of Water Supply with a term ending on 12/31/2015. The Chief of Police requests council approval to purchase two new K-9 vehicles at an estimated amount of $75,000 through the Hawaii High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Initiative for law enforcement purposes and the Kauai Police Department's K-9 program. The Executive on Aging requests council approval to receive and spend federal funds in the fiscal year 2016 in the amount of $543,186, which will be used for the provision of Title III services of the Older Americans Act. The Fire Chief transmits for council consideration proposed amendments to an ordinance relating to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year 2015-2016, revising the amounts estimated in the general fund to appropriate funds to meet Kauai Fire Department's 10% match for Federal Emergency Management Assistant to Firefighters grant to purchase an aerial apparatus vehicle. That's Kauai Fire Department aerial apparatus vehicle, 10% county match, $71,909, and this is draft bill number 2599. Council Vice Chair Kagawa transmits for council consideration proposed amendments to the county code relating to the beneficial tax rate for property used for long-term affordable rental to provide a one-time tax credit for owners who received the beneficial tax rate. There were three claims against the county this week related to vehicle damage. Under committee reports, the Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has a request from Councilmember Hoosier for the county engineer to provide an update on the status of the Kakaha landfill, and this was received for the record. The Budget and Finance Committee has approved Bill number 2596 for an ordinance relating to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016, revising the amounts estimated in the Solid Waste and General Fund, and this is the Kauai Police Department Abandoned Derelict Vehicle Coordinator position, and this is $140,122, and this is also under bills for the second reading. Under resolutions is number 2015-57. Supporting economic justice for Hawaii's working families, living wage, paid sick leave, paid family and medical leave, and right to organize. And a public hearing was held on this on September 15th. Bills for the first reading include proposed draft bill number 2599 related to revising the budget for the Kauai Fire Department's aerial apparatus vehicle, 10% county match. Also, proposed draft bill number 2600 for an ordinance amending the county code relating to the beneficial tax rate for property used for long-term affordable rentals. There will be a non-public executive session for the county attorney pertaining to the hiring of a county auditor and to consult with the county's legal counsel. This was deferred from September 16th. There will also be a briefing and request for authority to settle a civil case. To view meetings or meeting archives, please visit www.kauai.gov/webcast-meetings. Check the county's new website. It is very nice. And until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
And again, a big mahalo for listening to KKCR. And Jazz with John is going to be very interesting tonight. I've got some very
Different tracks that I got from some old LPs I've been finding around the place. And I want you to know that Jazz with John is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee Company, Kamoa Ukulele, and Tiki Aniki.
Kauai Coffee, 100% pure Hawaiian, single-origin, GMO-free coffee. Grown and roasted here on the Garden Island at retail locations island-wide, on all the Hawaiian Islands, and at our estate on Highway 540 between Kalaheo and Ali'ali, where walking tours and coffee tasting are also available. More information and ordering online at kauaicoffee.com.
Kamoa Ukulele Company, dedicated to building high-quality bell-tone instruments, built with a one-player-at-a-time philosophy, from student models up to custom masterpieces. Kamoa Ukulele Company, a family-owned business, supports KKCR. 652-9999 or online at kamoaukulelecompany.com.
Announcing Saturday and Sunday brunch at Tiki Yaniki, 9:30 to 2:30. That's lunch, dinner, late night, and now brunch. Tiki Yaniki in the Princeville Center. Fine dining in a wild setting. 431-4242.
And a big mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio and Jazz with John. And as usual, we're going to start off with our theme song, Yesterday's by Patrick Plunkett.